This is how it really started.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fadero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever episode 197.
Whoa.
Here, as always, with the feverish Fanero and FF lowercase underscore lowercase spaceman.
Hey, yo.
Spaceman, did you put your tag on Larry Monkey's thing to get roasted?
Yeah.
He roast it? Did he? I missed that, man. I got to tune into that.
I have it downloaded. I'm not sure if they've actually released the episode yet, but I have them.
Did he mention that it was lowercase?
I'm not sure, but they definitely roasted how slow the draft is going. That's what they kept on making fun of me for. They in the chat.
Man, they should have roasted that.
But I have to do a special shout out here, guys. I have a new student who asked me literally 75 questions the last 2 days about Rookie Fever. So shout out K, man. Hope you're listening, buddy.
How many questions was that?
75. Like, that's what he would
came
earn.
In. You have an awesome teacher.
So that he's really all about the Rookie Fever, talked about how we record, like everything. I don't think anyone could have asked more questions about Rookie Fever. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. He should come on and interview you.
He loved the intro too. He was
like, we need a permission slip. We need a permission slip.
The intro is kind of kick ass.
So, and you've heard his voice. We haven't addressed him, the feverish Fanero.
What up, dude? What are we doing? Are we doing undervalued 2021 rookies or are we doing underrated? Because there's a difference.
So, I was going to like put the title as do you remember what we are talking about this week? And at this point, like see if the listeners remember for what we said a couple weeks
I
ago
like
or
that.
Not. But
no, you gotta
now
do that.
It's too late. No, because you just told them. So I mean, underrated, undervalued.
It's the same
yourself.
Thing. It's
What's
same
your gripe?
Thing. It's the same thing. I was being facetious.
It's too late.
But you'll have to figure out what you're going to put in the title now: underrated or undervalued.
I'm putting undervalued because the other one said overvalued.
Well, there you go. So you answered my question. That is also at the top of my show sheet. So undervalued it is, sir.
Hopefully these aren't. Hopefully none of them are underrated. It's just overvalued.
Spaceman's on mute because he's just cracking up back there. Now, real quick, Spaceman, I got a question for you because I'm betting you have more than I do. I have 5. How many do you have? He's going to say like 12. He's going to say something like 12. 6. Nice. Swags, how many do you have in your queue? Okay. That is a good number. That is a good number indeed. All right.
That was a 0.
Spaceman, how many do you and
I'm here
I...
for this, though. I'm here for this.
Spaceman, how many do you think you and I have in common out of our 5 and 6?
Wait, I should get to guess that.
I'm playing a little
game. It
seems
like I would be the best one to guess that because I said 0.
I had a short list, and it looks like Dave also has a short list. So I bet I'm going to say that at least 3 out of his 6 are also on my list.
I say 2. And I mean, I have some guys.
That's better.
I don't,
that's better.
I'm going to say you guys have about 2 that are the same. I'm going to guess that I have at least 1 that is on neither of your lists. And yeah, maybe 2. Maybe if not, maybe
wow,
2.
Wow, 1 to 2. So you think you're the... What do we want to call that? The guru of undervalued 2021 rookie picks with these 1 to 2 that just will not be on my list.
It's not that. It's not that, Fanero. I think I'm the best listener of the group, and I think I know some of the guys you don't like.
All right.
So I kind of know how I feel about them versus you.
Okay. Fair enough.
He's like, yeah,
fair
maybe enough. You are the best listener of the group.
Wait, what did you just say?
Bada bing.
Oh my God. So we super apologize for this. Like,
I don't.
Finero's on the clock in the Scott Fishbowl. And we're gonna see, what the hell are you gonna do? Can you we get you to take a rookie here on Rookie Fever?
Ooh.
Give us a little bit of brand here. What pick are we at? While Finero's pulling that up, for anybody that does not know, and Dave could probably Dave has been so freaking involved in this and with the Scott Fishbowl Potathon and everything he's done. Honestly, like some of the guys like you, Dave, I think are some of the most unrecognized people. And I know you don't do it for the recognition, Dave. I know you. But holy cow, you deserve some freaking credit for everything you've done over there at the Scott Fishbowl Potathon. Raised so much money. All of this is for charity, Toys for Tots. Scott Fishbowl is a big tournament, 1922, Dave. Is that correct? Give me a head nod, something like that.
Yeah, something right around there. Yep.
And we're all in different divisions. It's music divisions this year. Nirvana division that I'm in, like, I didn't really know when they decided. We knew we were going to have a winner come out of that division, but I don't know when they decided it was going to be me. But it must have been sometime recently, because you look at my team, man, and watch out. But jokes aside, like, I have an awesome division and some sharp guys. Like, I don't even tell them every day. I act like, you know, when you're in a dynasty league and you have to like have a poker face and act like you're going to be able to trade for those players at some point. And I'm like playing my cards like that, as if I'm going to be able to get like Sutton and Judy from people when they snipe them from me. But I don't even tell everybody when they take my guys, just because it happens so much. Like, awesome group of guys. So, yeah. But anyway, Finero, do you know what you're doing? Are you taking a rookie?
I mean, I guess I have a choice to. I think I can wait a little longer. Somebody that probably 16 picks later, which is my next pick in the 11th round, that won't be available, I think, according to ADP, will be Devonta Smith. I know you're not a fan. But instead of Devonta Smith, I could go with stalwarts like Jarvis Landry, upside play like Curtis Samuel, Mike Williams, those kind of guys. But Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle probably wouldn't make it back if I really wanted them. That's at the wide receiver position. I'm pretty sure at running back, it's pretty damn thin. I'll check it out for you. But
that's the 10th round you're in?
Yeah. 10th round.
That's tough.
Yeah. Yep. So they would be my rookie options. And I also would probably need to add a little context into there. I believe this would only be my third wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So the earliest Waddle has gone, I believe, is somewhere in that 808 area. And the longest lasted in a league, I think, was around like 1308 or somewhere in there. And I'm in the same he's a target right now, but I don't pick till 12:12, and we are at 12:10. I might come up on the clock here. But if Waddle is still there for me at 12:10, I'm definitely pulling the trigger.
But not in the 10th round. You'd probably go Jarvis.
Well, in the 10th, at that point, I took Goff and Gesicki, and Waddle was Waddle was in my head too. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
So I was, right. But I went Gesicki and who I know you don't like, but I went Gesicki and Goff at that last turn. So
gotcha. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not sure our listeners want to hear me go over who I'm going to pick, because I tend to take a good 20 minutes thinking about it. But
we'll see if you figure it out while we're recording, just, and you want to let us know.
Yep.
Dave, how do you feel about Waddle or Devonta Smith in this particular tournament? Do we have the rookie fever? Are they overvalued, undervalued?
Oh, there you go.
It's tough for me to say that in the Scott Fishbowl tournament, just because I have not gotten to that point in the draft. So I have a really terrible feel for what's going on, because I'm still like Allen Robinson's on the board where I'm at, or he just went off the board. Like, I'm not, like, that's who the players were still on the board.
Way back there.
So I have a trouble feeling now. Devonta Smith, wide receiver one in his own team, probably this year. That could be some immediate production. You know, we saw last year those immediate people were always pish-poshing the rookies, like, oh yeah, you got to wait on them, they're not going to be immediate production. And I know it was a historic year last year, but we got some great wide receiver production from the rookies last year. So let's not just automatically push these players off to the side as if, oh, they're not going to produce for us in year one.
Did you say pish posh?
Pish posh. Is that a word?
Yeah, I think pish posh.
I was going to ask you guys, pish posh?
Yeah, pish posh is definitely a turn of phrase, my friend.
I like it.
Yeah, pish posh.
Pish posh. Stop pish poshing these players.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that should be the title of the show.
Now he's covering his tracks for ruining the title.
I know. We put the titles all over the place. You pish poshed me off.
Don't pish posh these wide receivers. That is the title of the show. It matches with what we're talking about today. Do not pish posh these wide receivers.
All right, I have to write that down.
Because you never heard of pish posh.
Well, and I don't want to three of us will forget, and I'd have to play back through it to listen to it just to find the title. So
yeah, the guy who listens the best.
Oh, right. Yeah, this coming from the guy who listens the best. Very nice face, man. Very nice.
Well, nice, that, it was nice because it was so back. Amazing. It's the amazing ideas that I forget because I take them for granted that they're going to stay somewhere. So I put them in this really trashy part of my brain. And then because I'm like, oh, I'll remember that no matter what. And for some reason, that automatically sends stuff to like the shittiest part of my brain. And then they're just gone. I don't know. And then I remember like a bunch of other useless facts that we'll never need for this show or anything else in my life.
I have an announcement.
Oh, he picked.
Yeah, I have now decided that I am going to pick my second rookie in the Scott Fishbowl at round 10. I'm going to pick somebody that could have up to 130 targets this season on the Philadelphia. Yeah, you heard me, Spaceman. 130 targets. Devonta Smith has been drafted by my team in the U2 division. This is my second rookie in a row. Picked Justin Fields before that in the 9th round. I need upside, Swags. That's my upside. The rookie. Who knows what we're going to get from him.
Living the brand.
I mean, I think I mentioned him on our overvalued show, so yes, I'll let you talk to him about him here.
Yes, you did. Yeah, we talked about him a little bit too there. I think for me, it all comes down to the quarterback, right? Like, what are we going to get? Like, is he just going to run for his life the whole season? Is the offensive line going to be good enough? Going to be healthy? Will it stay healthy? I know it's very thin. They don't have a lot of depth there. But as far as getting a wide receiver one, I think I did get that. I got a wide receiver one on a team. I don't believe Rager's going to be that. I think they're already moving him to the slot. So I think that might be good for Rager, by the way, as a side note. But I think because of that, because he's like probably the best route runner in this class, I'm going to go with the more immediate production with the opportunity and the fact that he has the skills to run pretty much every route in the route tree. So I'm going to go with that as a useful player and just hope that the quarterback can, you know, show up. And he definitely flashed last year. There's no doubt. He had QB1 numbers. It was three quarters of a start. So let's see if that continues.
So I'll transition a little bit. He's an underrated rookie for me for the show. He's DLF's wide receiver 29 in their ADP in June for it, Superflex. He's my wide receiver 24. Like we said, the wide receiver one on that offense. And he's the type of player whose skills should translate quickly to the NFL, like a CC Calvin Ridley, you know, that route running, that type of play. I think that should translate quickly to the NFL. And his college production paired with draft capital on a team with a poor defense, I like where Devonta Smith could go.
There you go. See how I turned my Scott Fishbowl pick into this show?
I'm struggling with the Calvin Ridley comp.
I'm just saying it the way they play, like they're route. Size, they're not and, like and, they're route runners kind of players.
And I know you mean even as a route runner, but then he had Matt Ryan and got to play behind Julio. Like that's a huge blessing.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I get what you're saying as far as route running, though. I do there, but I'm kind of worried like about also like who Jalen Hurts is as a successful fantasy quarterback and how that could hinder the assets around him in the passing game, you know, because he's going to run, you know.
Dynasty wise, though, I think because I know we kind of segued off of Scott Fishbowl, but dynasty wise, I think if Hurts doesn't pan out, they have those first round picks next year, mm-hmm. which they could package to move up. They could legitimately get and next year's a pretty good quarterback class. So mm-hmm. if worst case scenario was to happen and Hurts is just god awful.
Oh, sure. Sure.
I feel like it's very similar to like, you know, the situation that AJ Brown was in where it's like it was really shitty. We didn't like Mariota, we didn't like the situation and it changed very quickly the next year. So, I think for that reason he's insulated a little bit.
I don't hate that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's insulated just a tiny bit. Plus, I do feel like there's upside with Hurts. I don't think him, you know, running out of the pocket and being able to, you know, produce with his legs is a bad thing. We've seen that that is definitely where the NFL is going. My concerns are equal to yours, though. So I definitely get it. If he's not a passer, he's not a passer. If he winds up being just very average or below average at that, you know, my biggest fear is that he's just okay and they don't make that move next year with that capital. That's my biggest fear. And I think they were already willing to kind of look past Hurts. I think there was enough rumors in the offseason about the QB carousel that was going on that they were looking, you know. So mm-hmm. I think we get 1 year of this, we get to see what happens. So I think dynasty wise, I'm less concerned than picking him in the 10th round as my wide receiver three.
Yeah.
I think as my wide receiver three and Scott Fishbowl, where you start three, that's concerning. I don't love that, but I'll back it up with my next pick.
I understand, too, the concerns about Hurts because he did have that poor completion percentage. And I think that's what some people are kind of onto him on, like that Scott Fishman side. They're really concerned about that completion percentage and how that dings him in the scoring format. But he did have two games over 300 yards. So it's not like that it's not getting any receiving production at all. Right. And I think he started, what, four games down the stretch, two of them over 300 yards.
One of them he didn't finish, right? Like one of his five games, he didn't even finish the game or something.
Yeah, I forget which one it was.
Something like that happened where it was.
But I mean, to be clear, like when coming off the overvalued show, when we're talking about undervalued, I mean, I know we're having a discussion too about Scott Fishbowl and scoring and winning a redraft league, but I'm talking about dynasty.
Yeah, same here.
Same here.
So, I mean, I agree with what I said on the overvalued show. I respect it, though. I do. I respect Devonta Smith and his route running ability. I just kind of want to see something from the little guy.
The listeners get to decide for themselves whose advice they're going with. So that I like it. We gave them both sides of the coin.
I mean, take all of our advice. Honestly, you know, we're all pretty level-headed guys. And in the end, like, we're aware of this fever that we get for the rookies and the ups and the downs of it. So, I totally get it. I just feel like enough people are there to bat for Devonta Smith that it's hard for me to call him undervalued.
Fair enough. And you were citing ADP, right?
I was, personally.
Yeah. And you said he was the wide receiver 24?
Wide receiver 29 in DLF ADP, and he's my wide receiver 24.
Got it.
In rankings.
So slightly undervalued.
Yeah.
Right. Not a lot. Fair enough.
So I want to really super quick say somebody I think you guys don't have on your list that I think is a little bit undervalued, but it seems to be coming around a little bit this week, and that's Trey Sermon. And I'm guessing neither of you have him on your list.
That would be correct.
You are correct, sir.
And I just I think that he has some of the similar upside of like a Javonte Williams or somebody like that, to be completely honest with you, in that offense with a less talented running back than that of like Melvin Gordon in front of him. And I'm going to say Trey Sermon, but I think it's a tough week to come out and saying Trey Sermon's undervalued because I think he did get a little bit of hype this week. People are coming around a little bit, but Trey Sermon.
Interesting. So, I mean, Swags, I hear what you're saying, because what the idea is that on that team with that type of offense, he could smash and have a huge payday. So I hear what you're saying about the upside that it might not be taken in. For me, I have some worries. I just have some worries about, and also too, you're talking to the guy who had him like ranked as the RB, not even the top 12 RB as a rookie until after the draft. So I'm just struggling to get there, but I think I could definitely see him being a potential hole where I have him. So I could definitely be easily overlooking him.
And I almost had him on my overvalued from 2 weeks ago. And when I looked at his ADP and I saw where he was falling, he was absolutely not overvalued. That's for sure. Like, I think he's going about where he should go. Like, I feel very comfortable almost in any format, redraft, dynasty, like where he's going. That's about where I think he should go. I think we just have to remember that we all knew that this was not a great running back class and just keep reminding ourselves of that. You know, Javonte Williams at one point wasn't even in consideration himself. And very quickly he wound up, you know, being put into that first tier. And now all of a sudden I feel like we're forcing Trey Sermon into certainly a second tier. I don't think anyone's trying to group him in with the top three, but they're kind of giving him his own tier. Like Carter doesn't even qualify. It's just Trey Sermon and he's all by himself and he's not that far off from that first group. Even you brought up Swags Javonte Williams, right? So I think, you know, that kind of a comment, that kind of a comment kind of makes me feel like he's overrated. I don't think he is Javonte Williams. I get his opportunity in that system and lesser running backs. If you think he's a greater running back, I don't know. I like you like to say with these rookies, I like to see it first. I like to see him stay on the field, which I haven't seen in college. Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like he's in that middle ground where I can't consider him overvalued or undervalued. I think he's just kind of where he is, where he probably should be.
He's just valued.
I had him at the same. That's funny. That's funny because I had the same thoughts. I looked at him and I was like, looked at my rankings, looked at his ADP. I was like, oh, I felt like he was overvalued, but that's right where I have him.
Yeah, I was surprised actually because I think we thought that because of where he was going in rookie drafts. Because of where he was going in rookie drafts was because it was the position. Like if you needed a running back, I mean, you see that in all our running, in all of our rookie drafts, you just see positional need get players bumped up. It happens. It's a real thing in Dynasty. Like it just happens. No,
I think you bring up a good point too. And we've even kind of brought this up on the show before. I mean, when you see like somebody like, let's say hypothetically Trey Sermon goes at 201 in a rookie draft. And then you see Devontae Smith's a bad example. Man, let's use Michael Carter goes 202 in the same rookie draft. And then in your startup draft, you see somebody like Michael Carter goes 22 picks after Trey Sermon, which is huge in a startup, like those 20 to 22 players. Like, and that's just like a one hypothetical.
I think you nailed the hypothetical, actually. Yeah, that's pretty. I bet you that's very, very similar to how it happens.
But the startup value is much more important than the rookie value. And the funny thing is too, like back to the way I started this with my bad example of Devontae Smith, is in a startup, you're going to see Devontae Smith appropriately, probably from the guy that says he's overvalued, go before Trey Sermon. Whereas in the rookie draft, a lot of times because of the running back scarcity, the Feverish just mentioned, you're going to see Trey Sermon sometimes sneak up in front of Smith because people are kind of reaching to try to get that running back. And that's where I agree. Like it starts to kind of be like a little overvalued in the rookie drafts. So I see what you're saying and some of your concern and the talent that you have to pass up to acquire Trey Sermon in your rookie draft. But in the startup, I just feel like there's players I'm happy to pass up for somebody like Trey Sermon in some of the stuff I see, completely honestly.
Yeah. And that's kind of where my head's at on the I don't think he's undervalued. Like I feel like he fits in a startup and I think he's overvalued in a rookie draft.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Mr. Dave.
Yeah. So I'm just going to go out swinging here and get really obvious here. I think Rondale Moore is underrated.
on brand. I like it.
He's DLF's wide receiver 40 seven.
Wow.
And he's my wide receiver 23. So I have him a full like 24 wide receivers higher than DLF's ADP. And some people are worried about his size. I think the biggest concern is size. And also he didn't go in the top of that second round. He was still has second round draft capital with great age adjusted college production, which are big things for me. And then he's attached to Kyler Murray, who has potential to take a step forward as a passer. I think he's a great fantasy quarterback, but he could improve as a passer. And by the end of the season, I think Rondale Moore has a very good shot of being the wide receiver two overall in a high volume passing offense that's going to score a lot of points. And he might see a lot of jet sweeps and design run plays for him as well. So, I don't want to say any more than that because I've talked about him a lot, but that's my where I
no,
think
he's over. I agree with you, dude. I think he's in one of those situations where it's almost like one of those tainted situations where people want to say like they want to comp him to Christian Kirk and Andy Isabella and how they failed in that offense rather than give him his own chance. They want to be like, oh, they keep getting similar players and it hasn't worked. And to me, sometimes it's like, well, they're looking for that player. Like, you know what I mean? They're not trying to like have a bunch of them be useless together. They're looking for the one. And I think quite possibly they found it this year. So, yeah, I don't hate that at all. Feverish, I don't know if you want to say how you feel about that. I feel like we kind of skipped you on the undervalued players.
You did. I tend to be an undervalued co-host on this show. But
oh, my gosh.
I'm kidding. I will say one quick comment about Rondale Moore. I am warming up to 2021 production. I love him for next year, 2022, but I'm starting to buy into beating out Christian Kirk this year and putting on some fantasy point production. So I'm actually a little excited in the drafts that I have him in. I'm going a little deeper than you guys have. I'm going to go quite a bit deeper, I would say. A guy that I think not...
Marion Terry?
No, not that deep. We want to stay on an NFL team. So I believe that this player picked in the third round out of Clemson was his fantasy value dropped mainly because the Aaron Rodgers news was so new. I think if that had never happened, I think we would be a little bit more excited about Amari Rodgers. Lazard is, I guess, the wide receiver two there. I mean, Rodgers is coming off a QB1 fantasy season. Why would we not like a third round pick? Also called Rodgers to Rodgers connection.
A Rodgers to A Rodgers.
I've heard a player comp I thought was very interesting, which kind of gives you a little picture of maybe the upside of an Amari Rodgers. A scout said that he could be used like Debo Samuel with his strength and size to also line up on the outside as well. I can see Devontae Adams helping this kid out. I like that that comparison from an NFL scout. I also like his work ethic and toughness. This dude came back from an ACL tear in less than 170 days. That's like a season. This dude came back from like half that time. He's supposed to be like, you know, in the books, kind of, you know, really, really careful about his game and learning everything he can. And I think with Adams and Rodgers, if he stays, if he starts, I know the swing is that Rodgers is going to play and that Rodgers is going to possibly play in Green Bay. Obviously, this undervalued part does depend on that. If Rodgers isn't in Green Bay, it's going to change a lot.
I like that one a lot too, honestly. And maybe even if Aaron Rodgers leaves, you could almost argue that Amari Rodgers is still a little undervalued, but definitely if he stays. And I think you're absolutely right. If Aaron Rodgers was known to be the starter in Green Bay this year, Amari Rodgers' value would skyrocket. And the minute it happens, assuming it does, it still will. People will be like, oh, I wish I had Amari Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody's waiting to find out. They just got him late, most cases, because he was perceivably not having Aaron Rodgers. So I dig it. Finero, since you feel so undervalued today, let's just keep it with you.
All right, cool. We'll do that. This is going to be one.
Dave, dude, look at what you did to Dave.
Is he a mess?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to stay right there in the third round. Okay. So I'm going to go with a big bodied Alpha X prototypical wide receiver, 6'4", 215-pound Nico Collins out of Michigan, out there where Swags is from. The draft capital is there, Houston. So we got an opportunity also being there with 27-year-old Brandon Cooks, 30-year-old Randall Cobb, and Kiki Kuti. I think he's an upside stash with possible production this year. His college production profile doesn't jump off the page, which scares you a little bit, but I think a lot of that had to do with the quarterback, Shea Patterson, and just the Michigan offense last year. So I'm going to blame Michigan and Shea Patterson. And I'm going to say
he opted out for the COVID year too.
Yeah, I'm going to say Nico Collins is his college production is going to be a mark against him. But that 6'4", 215-pound body type with opportunity, and opportunity over there in Houston, I think that's a nice little upside stash. Nico Collins.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. You know I like that. Like it a lot. Dave, kind what do you got?
I guess I like what you were saying there, Finero. Kind of like could be a Claypool situation all over again. He's got the prototype size, so I kind of like what you're saying there. My theme for tonight is I'm picking I think a lot of these elite players are underrated. So I'm going to go to Ja'Marr Chase. And this is going to just knock everyone's socks off because he's already the DLF wide receiver 10. He's my wide receiver 5 in Dynasty at the moment. And this is the way I want to phrase it for people is that he's considered one of the best wide receiver prospects since Julio Jones, probably the best since wide receiver since Julio Jones. And my argument is sometimes there's this caution of like, oh, there's risk involved. And it's like, well, if he's as good as I think he is and my process says he is, then why don't I just call it that way? Instead of having this reserved, there's no vet, like, oh, you're, you know, picking me at ceiling. I think he's an amazing wide receiver. He was better than Justin Jefferson, and he was a year younger at LSU, and he was a dominant player with Terrace Marshall and Justin Jefferson, and he was better than both of them. He's got the size, speed, and athleticism, and Joe Burrow is his offense again, so he's attached to a good quarterback as well in an offense that could be a Dallas Cowboys light type offense. So that's my case for Ja'Marr Chase being underrated, and that just I think if he's the player that we think he is going to be ranked higher in ADP next year if he's as good as I think he is. So I'm gonna just call my shot and what I have him ranked as. So that's how I'm gonna approach him.
Dave, if he's 10 this year, what does he have to do to jump to 5?
He's got to have a CeeDee Lamb type seat. You know, he's got to do what CeeDee Lamb did. That's so.
Cause it'll just validate it. So if he was, I think you and I both had him around 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
So if he pulled that off, then it would just validate everything. As long as it wasn't one of those things where I was going to say like T. Higgins doesn't take another step. Or does that even matter?
I think that this offense can support two top 24 wide receivers easily with Joe Burrow at quarterback, especially how bad that defense is. So it's one of those things where I think he's that talented, and I'm not going to – I understand the arguments against it, but sometimes I am too cautious on the players that I like. You wouldn't think that with Rondale Moore, but I really like Ja'Marr Chase, and I felt at times where I've tapped the brakes a little bit. I'm like, no, I need to understand that. I think he's – that good of a player, and I need to recognize it like that. So I'm trying to go outside my shell a little bit and just say, like, hey, this is a guy that I really value.
If you're going to push all your chips on a player this year, I could see choosing Ja'Marr Chase as that player, even over a player like Kyle Pitts. I could see pushing on all my chips for Chase. So I get it.
And this is contrarian. Yeah. I think most people feel like he's overvalued already. So I understand that I might be in the minority.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I don't hate what you're doing at all, though, Dave. Honestly, no matter – I mean – This is Rookie Fever. This is our show. This is about what you think. You're picking your players that you think are undervalued. And I love that you're getting behind it.
Me too.
I don't have to 100% agree with it. I totally get where you're coming from, though. Like, you get me more excited about Ja'Marr Chase, you know? So it's going to be fun to talk about. I love it, dude. How I think this should be done. Like, value doesn't change by adhering to value. It just doesn't. So I love it, Dave. Yeah. I don't think you have to explain yourself any more than that, quite honestly, man. Yeah. I love it.
Well said, Swags. You got one for us?
So with that said, this drives me crazy, Finero. If Devontae Smith is undervalued, then Jalen Waddle is super undervalued. Super. He's the first super undervalued player of this Rookie Fever. And I didn't even know there's going to be one. You guys are like, wait, how does he get to call? He does this all the time. Yes, Jalen Waddle is the most super duper undervalued player of the show.
Super
and I think that yes, dude. It's like don't make me pull out a triple double dog dare.
Super duper.
But yeah, I think that he could be the wide receiver one in that offense.
I agree.
And I think it's kind of ready to go. I don't know. I really like that connection. I want more Jalen Waddle. Like, he's the guy that I've kind of been trying to find ways to send offers to from like this rookie class, because Ja'Marr Chase is going to be tough to get, right, Dave? Even with like you feeling he's undervalued, it doesn't mean he's obtainable for me.
I was in a rookie draft and I was in a startup. I couldn't get Ja'Marr Chase. That's how, so like there, it wasn't a unique league that where he was valued that way, but it was, I couldn't get him. So I know what you're saying about it's tough to get Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah. So who's some more undervalued players? What you guys got?
Well, just real quick on Waddle. So for me, I think I'm just late on the Tua party. I feel like there's a lot of people that are very optimistic about Tua, and I'm still on a wait and see pattern. So that affects my Waddle. And I would say it's very similar to Hurts, to be quite honest. And I don't think that's fair. I think Tua was drafted higher. Tua was a better product coming out of college.
Waddle was drafted higher.
Yeah. So I'm not comparing Smith. Just the two quarterbacks right now is what I'm doing. So for me, like Waddle's right after Smith in my ranking. So it's not like that different. But I don't consider Smith or Waddle underrated. But I could see from your point of view, his upside is kind of your expectation. He would absolutely be underrated then. I'm just a little bit more wait and see on Tua, so I'm a little bit more wait and see on Waddle. I'm excited about Waddle, though. I think he's electric. He could be really. I was considering him here when I picked Smith. I mean, I think they're neck and neck for me for sure. But I think I played this game wrong. But again, it's rookie fever, so I'm allowed to do whatever I want. Swag said that. I'm going to go deep again. I'm going to go with Josh Palmer. 6'1", 210 pounds out of Tennessee. And my two favorite reasons for liking him are Herbert and the LA Chargers. The draft capital doesn't hurt. First wide receiver picked in the third round. So I gave you three. This is my third wide receiver picked in the third round, but this is the first of those three. Mike Williams was picked up on his fifth year option, which is good for him. But if he doesn't show up, I could see him. Well, he is slated to be a free agent next year. So if Josh Palmer was to move into that role in 2022, I think his value absolutely goes up. So he's that kind of move the chain kind of guys. He nearly 70%. I just looked this up before we went on the show. Nearly 70% of his catches in college went for first down. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's a quarterback's best friend right there. So another guy, you know, without a great college profile, but again, I'm just going back to my first two reasons, which is Herbert and the LA Chargers.
So 7 of his 10 catches in college were first downs. That's awesome.
Is that kind of crazy?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm making fun of him.
That's 70%. Math.
Hey, but that, I get it too. And like you said, like we're making the rules as we go.
Yeah, kinda.
Well, yeah,
I like that we're all over the place. So much for overlap. So much for overlap.
So, Dave, who else do you have?
So I'm swinging my punches here. So we want to talk about, you know, my last couple of players, or like Ja'Marr Chase, not really that undervalued, but I'm going to go for a big name that I think is still undervalued. And here we go, Travis Etienne, DLF's RB21. And he's my RB10 overall in Dynasty. I would rather have him over Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, Austin Eckler, Zeke, Aaron Jones, and Joe Mixon, and even Antonio Gibson. I think Travis Etienne does what Antonio Gibson did last season, 15 points per game type of deal. But he's got more. He's at the receiving upside, and he's attached to Trevor Lawrence, and he's got that up that running back one. He was the draft capital. And as the receiving back, I love my receiving backs, and I love my young. That's how I play Dynasty. I want these young running backs. I sell off the Joe Mixons, the Josh, the Ezekiel Elliotts, and Aaron Joneses, and try to get those first couple of years production. And that's just how I approach it. So I like Etienne. I think is a value in any format, but in Dynasty, you know, he was going 110. I saw him go 110 in Superflex rookie leagues. That's a value for me.
Yeah, I mean, I like that value a lot. Like, I there's just so many quarterbacks this year, I think, is what pushed him back. But even after that, for me, then it was Pitts and your Ja'Marr Chase pushing him back. So, like, five quarterbacks, those two I just mentioned, that's seven players. Then Najee Harris, that's eight, you know. So then he falls right into that Devontae Smith to Javonte Williams area right in there, you know. So,
and that's and with. Then, that's with James Robinson. I like James Robinson too, Swag. So I want to say that part too. I just think that's going to be a run centric of an offense. So I think there's going to be, because that's what Urban Meyer wants to do.
I think they'll run it a lot too, actually. Yeah. I think James Robinson is a huge value going back to the Scott Fishbowl in that type of tournament. Like, I think he's a huge value because I think you're right. I think they're going to run that ball a lot. And I think ETN will be the benefactor most of the time in that passing game.
So you don't have to like ETN. You don't have to hate James Robinson like ETN. That's my argument. That's what I'm going to try to say.
I don't hate that. Fenner, do you have any more undervalued players?
I do.
Say the one that I want to say so I don't have to say it.
Okay. I think this qualifies. Dwayne Eskridge.
No, but I like that.
Yeah,
I do like that.
I've heard you talk about him on a couple shows.
That wasn't the player in my head. Yeah, I do like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I second think round walk pick.
In there as the third wide receiver on the team and an offense that's going to pass a lot. Yeah, I like that.
So I think I've said more than a couple times that I think they're going to let Russell throw even more than they did last year. And he led the league. He was top eight in the league in pass attempts last year with 558. So if he can jump into that over 600, just give me like two, you know, maybe another 20 or 20, well, another 50 pass attempts, I guess, to get to that 600 area. I think that helps. I don't think he has any competition for the third spot. I don't think Freddie Swain is going to hurt that. I also think that just simply by drafting him in the second round, they're kind of fortifying my thought that they're going to pass more. I think they could have easily with Carson and his age, Penny and his knees, could have reinvested in the running back position. They did not do that. I don't think DJ Dallas is anything special. They reinvested in the wide receiver core that they already had a decent wide receiver core. So I think that third wide receiver is an indication that they will throw the ball more. I also think Russell Wilson is sick efficient. So I think we could have this. Dwayne's also like different than I would say the other two. He's kind of like a catch and run specialist. So maybe a little closer, a little for not a DK Metcalf, but he had just last year, he had TDs of 72 yards, 76 yards and 85 yards. So I think that's probably what we're going to see this year is flashes. But what else would you expect from a third wide receiver on a team? But those flashes are going to increase his value. I don't think many people care about Dwayne Eskridge. And especially when they attach him to Seattle. I mean, Lockett just signed a big deal and DK Metcalf is the alpha. So it's really tough to like the third wide receiver on Seattle. But I still feel like when we say Seattle, we say low pass volume. That's not true anymore. So I really do feel like there's upside here for Dwayne Eskridge if you're just throwing him out with the trash and saying that he's too old, because that's what everybody hates too. He's like 32 years old. I'm kidding, but you know he's old. I like him as a flip guy, not a flash and stash, but more like a flash and cash.
Yeah, I don't hate it. We'll have to see how he does. I don't know if I'd want to cash out depending on what he gives you and what those offers would be, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it depends on what the instant return is, because I don't think he's going to give us like wide receiver two numbers, maybe not even wide receiver three numbers. So what do you expect to cash out at?
Yeah, so I think what I'm hoping to cash out at is maybe, let's say Lockett misses four or five games.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's fair. Can miss four or five mm-hmm. games, not a significant injury. And Dwayne Eskridge just slips into that spot and people start thinking, whoa, you know, like this is going to be the next wide receiver two on a Russell Wilson offense. That's kind of what I'm looking to sniff. And then I change my third or fourth round rookie pick into like a second and I just go out because I'm not really all in on the guy to long term. Like I feel like he's going to have to be somebody. I still believe that Lockett is there for the next 3 years. I don't think they can even. I don't think they can even sneak out of that contract for 3 years.
Right,
so
probably not. I think that's
right. And
point.
DK Metcalf's got going anywhere. So you're talking about a third wide receiver. If I can make that a second round pick, I'm probably just going to go out on that, to be honest.
Yeah. People never really thought Lockett was going to be anything either.
You had a long wait for Lockett, though. I bet you anything Lockett was on three different teams before somebody actually used him. Lockett took a while. A
little bit.
He had spurts. He had flashes where, and they were like real Lockett truthers. Like there were some people who loved
Lockett. I think I just remember it different, but I was kind of like Baldwin's on his way out. I was a Lockett guy. I was waiting for Lockett. Dave, do you have any more undervalued?
I have two more.
Can you name the one that I'm thinking about so I don't have to do it?
I'm going to say, I know you're not going to name one, so I'll say the other one, Elijah Moore. And that's probably odd for people to say, because I think on existing teams who have him, it's going to take a lot to get him. But where he's going in startups, like the startup value that we're talking about, he's the wide receiver 40 in DLF ADP. And he's my wide receiver 28. And I think there's still some of that stink of the Jets organization on him. Adam Gase is gone. I like what Joe Douglas is doing. And that's just a situation. So I think that's one part too. And people think that he's a little bit, because of his size a little bit, they think he's just a slot guy. But he's already been showing in camp that he's working on the outsides as a wide receiver, so I really like that aspect. And he produced probably one of the more impressive production profiles of an SEC wide receiver we've seen in a while. And age-adjusted production is phenomenal. He's paired with Zach Wilson in an offense with how much they're investing in wide receiver and at the quarterback position in the offensive line. Makes me think they want to throw and that defense stinks. So existing teams, those managers hear all those good reports about Elijah Moore. But in drafts, according to DLF ADP and the way I approach this, I think I'm definitely a lot higher than where he's going being drafted.
I think there's a really good chance that I am now overvaluing Elijah Moore. I'm trading away firsts and stuff
you for have Elijah been, Moore. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been trying to gobble up as much as I can. I am turning to a situation where I have built a narrative that he is the most productive wide receiver, including Ja'Marr Chase this year. And that is ridiculous, but I'm building up that narrative in my mind and in my head. I'm believing it, and I'm concerned about my own overvalued Elijah Moore love. It has gotten out of hand.
Oh, man. Circle, circle, dot, dot. That only works as a cootie shot. That's not going to help that rookie fever.
That could be the title, too. You can go for it. Write it down.
Man, Finero's going to make me write so much stuff down.
That's going to be my new role.
My own damn title.
It's going to be my new role in the show. Write it down.
Kind of like Pish Posh. I already forgot the circle, circle, dot, dot thing.
Pish Posh.
So I don't hate the Elijah Moore one either. Do you think that he outproduces Corey Davis year one?
No. I don't think maybe as a total season, maybe not, because I like Corey Davis as well. I guess I'm just higher on this Jets offense than most. But I think maybe towards the end of the season when we start looking at the end of season, those game logs, the end of the season, I think Elijah Moore could wrestle away and beat Corey Davis that way, but maybe not as a total season type thing.
I agree with Dave. That's why it's so hard to answer those questions. And I go back to my AJ Brown example, and even do the running backs from last year, Swift, Taylor, who we all love, like their production happened in the second half of the season. And that's it's so tough to say year total who's better.
Taylor started off pretty good, actually.
He had a crater in the middle of the season.
Yeah. 2 or 3 week like stretch where it kind of people like went nuts, like treated him like Nyheim Hines, worse, treated him like Tony Pollard, worse.
Oh yeah.
Treated him like Austin Eckler, worse. All kinds of lame running backs. The Austin Eckler one was just for fun. That was for me.
On brand, once again.
Hashtag fade to shames.
So one player that I wanted you guys to mention here was Terrace Marshall.
Oh, I got him on my list. He's my last one.
Damn it. You were supposed to not have anybody on my list. We've done so good. But I'm not super into Robbie Anderson, to be honest with you. I know he's going to be around and he's going to be probably the wide receiver 2 on the team this year. I think that Sam kind of like, what's your name, Dave?
Yeah, that's it. That's me.
Kind of like Dave was saying about the Jets. I think that there's a certain like stink there with Darnold and just the offense around there. Marshall was a little beat up coming into camp, so we didn't hear as much about him. I think that a rookie camp, I think that Marshall's been a little bit undervalued because of this. Dave, I also wanted to ask you, Finero, you too. Do you think that Jets stink would wear off if they changed the colors of their jerseys?
It's a good question. That theory, that green trash look is not very aesthetically pleasing.
It's just weird. I think that stink was there for me long before Adam Gase came along. It's just kind of weird. Like, I mean, who's looked good in it?
Like Curtis Martin, like you had players that like Lavernius Coles, Curtis Martin.
Yeah, you have to go back. You have to go way back.
But yeah, but it was still ugly.
Yeah, true. You're talking about Patriots fans, so
Finero probably hates him the most because he's a Giants fan at heart from New York. So he probably is just like, yeah, you're right. They're pretty freaking ugly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan, but I don't know. I never perceived them as the most ugly jersey. I'd have to go back and look at my rankings on that. I have that somewhere.
I think for me, it's like the Panthers and the Jets. The last two.
I mean, the Jets is bad, dude. Jets is probably top 5. I mean, I can't argue really. The more I think about it, but back to Terrace Marshall, 13 touchdowns, dude. He had 13 touchdowns with Burrow, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase. How the hell do you do that? How do you get 13 touchdowns with Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson on the field next to you?
I mean, he was probably pretty open.
13 touchdowns, dude. That's pretty incredible. So I think he's kind of being labeled as a touchdown machine, but I think he's more than that. So you know, in I guess his year without that. So in the 2020 season, just last year, 48 catches, 731 yards, and another 10 touchdowns in just 7 games. Oh no, dude. I believe that he's on my list too. I think he's absolutely being undervalued. I don't know if it's a ton, but I feel like
hardly hear his name anymore.
Yeah, I agree. That's the reason I have him on here. Do you have the ADP, Dave, on Terrace Marshall to back up whether he's truly undervalued or not? I'm curious. I did not get a chance to look that up. But Robbie Anderson's a free agent next year, Swag. So, I mean, dynasty-wise, I'm 100% with you. And I would even make the argument that, you know, with Joe Brady as his offensive coordinator, the familiarity with Joe Brady, I could see him producing this year and outproducing, maybe not in the first half of the season, but in the second half of the season, Robbie Anderson.
He's going the 12th round at wide receiver 43 right now.
So. Wide receiver. So give me, where's Rondale Moore?
Rondell Moore is wide receiver 37. Oh no, he's behind. Rondell Moore is going after Terrace Marshall.
Okay, all right. Because I think they should be close, and it sounds like they are. So
yeah, they're like
some of the veteran wide receivers in that area, if you don't mind.
But not ancient.
Definitely, we've got
not Will Fuller.
We've got Robbie Anderson's right there too. Curtis Samuel's right there. Michael Gallup is right there.
I like Curtis Samuel.
Fuller and Brandon Cooks are right.
I like Marshall. Heads and tails, but more than every single one of those players you said. Although I do like Curtis Samuel this year a little bit, but in Dynasty, I like Marshall more than all of those easily for me.
I'll just add to like with Marshall, like I'm not the biggest Marshall guy because there's just players I like more, but I'm not, that doesn't mean that I don't think he's a good player. Because the argument is too, is like how many prototypical wide receivers are there in this class? It's Marshall, maybe Chase. Has that, but not Chase doesn't even have the same size that Marshall does. So
yeah. Nico Collins,
and it's
maybe.
Nico Collins. Yeah, it's that's the list right there.
Yep.
So there is a lot of upside that goes along with that type of build, and it's not like he didn't produce in college, like Fenner was saying. So I understand. I just please just don't eat into DJ Moore because I can't take any more DJ people eating. DJ Moore.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be DJ Moore is the wide receiver one on the team.
I agree.
I'm just kidding around, but yeah, no, I have.
Yeah.
He ran the same sub 4.4 that Jamar Chase did. Like, so he's quick too for his size. He's bigger. He's bigger than Jamar Chase and just as fast.
That was a fun Matt one. That Jones was a fun one.
Is undervalued.
That was a fun one. I feel like there was information packed.
It was pretty information packed, except you couldn't even name the ugliest frickin' jersey. Whiffed it on that.
New York Jets.
Yeah, I think I'd agree. We should have brought that one up.
I got a nose lamp out of Dave. That was awesome.
The throwbacks for the Pittsburgh Steelers are hideous.
Those are pretty bad too.
Oh my god, the bumblebees.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they are. Mine is throwbacks though. It might be the Jets.
Oh. That's the cue. The outro. No mac and cheese.
No mac and cheese.
Well, you want some mac? He's undervalued. Go get him. Week one starter. Team that's going to have him around a while. I'm at Swagzilla 0G. He is at Outbark TV at FF _. He don't need no uppercase spaceman. That's at FF _spaceman. No, just keep it simple so you can actually find his tag. This is at Rookie Fever. Keep talking so Fenero doesn't even get the last word in here. I know he's trying to time it, listen to music. Can't even hear it. I'm going.
Always have to have the last word.
Pish posh.
You had that queued up, didn't you?